Parlez-vous français? Or know anyone who does? At Focus on the Family Canada, we have a ministry dedicated to French-speaking families. Sign up for our free Focus Famille magazine today to receive marriage and parenting advice grounded in biblical truth. Visit our website, focusfamille.ca, for more resources in French. That's Focus, F-A-M-I-L-L-E.ca. Rendez-vous sur notre site focusfamille.ca et abonnez-vous à notre magazine gratuit. À bientôt!
But I think in the Word of God, it just gives us the hope. In fact, we like to say for our marriage that we are pictures of God's grace.
That's good.
Like God's grace in your marriage, we should see God's grace by not because we're perfect, but because we're still in this ring together. We're still fighting. We're still not fighting each other, but we're trying to fight for our marriage. We want to fight for our love. We want to fight for our kids' legacy. Yeah. We want to fight for all those things.
Well, that's George Gregory, and he's with us today on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly, along with his wife, Tondra. We'll be talking marriage, and thanks for joining us. I'm John Fuller.
You know, John, if people missed last time, you need to download the app or go to the website and listen to the program. It was fun. We're talking about their book, The Marriage Game Plan, but we talked about life, you know, what it was like to grow up in the 20s and fall away from the Lord or not even know the Lord at all, and then coming back. It's a good story, especially for parents who may have a prodigal child. Mm-hmm. And just the hope that George gave us, being raised as a pastor's son and then having his dark days in college, but then his dad praying for him for 365 straight days. Mm-hmm. And then getting that phone call from George saying, Dad, I've accepted Christ. That's what we all want to hear as parents when we have a son or daughter who isn't walking with the Lord. And then Tondra's story, simply about being raised by a single parent mom, I could relate to that. Mm-hmm. And not having a real spiritual foundation and just trying to do life as best as we can without a lot of healthy biblical instruction. So we connected on that. And then today we're going to pick up their marriage game plan book and talk about what you do to create a marriage game plan. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure with that application, it's not just for pre-married or newly married, but I'm sure people that have been married 10 years, 20 years, if you're kind of looking for the compass, we've got it for you today.
Yeah, George and Tondra have really built this book around their life experiences and their work with football teams, notably the Los Angeles Chargers. They served previously as marriage ministry leaders at Saddleback Church. And if you'd like to learn more about this delightful couple and this great book, stop by our website, and that's focusonthefamily.ca.
George and Tondra, welcome back.
Thank you. Always
glad
for having us.
Another good day. Hey, let's pick up. You know, if folks are just tuning in to hear this part of it, hopefully they'll go hear the other part, like I said. But we talked about your college years. You kind of knew each other. You ended up in the same classes. You talked about, you know, physical intimacy and aiming that direction before you really had any desire to marry each other. Let's pick it up there where you now are saying, hey, maybe we should get married. Mm-hmm. What did that look like? And then we'll move it from there.
Okay.
Well, we're human. And, there's a scripture that says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh gets weak. Mm-hmm. So Tondra and I, mm-hmm. after we gave our life to Christ, we still had some things to work out. And we ended up finally connecting, if you understand what I mean, and a baby was formed.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
And so my dad always taught me that when you do certain things that you're going to handle your responsibility. And so immediately when she told me she was pregnant, I told her, I said, I love you. I'm not in love with you, but I want to marry you. Yeah. I want to do right by my kid. I want to make sure that I am there to parent my own kid.
Yeah, and I would just even add, like, growing up with a single mom, I didn't have that structural emphasis on partnership and family. So I was like, no, George, no, we don't have to get married. I can take care of this baby by myself.
She totally
you know, I just had
off.
A total, just total worldview, not even thinking about what would be best for the child with having being raised by two parents. So we made that decision to just go ahead and get married. Rolling the dice is what we say. We roll the dice.
Yeah, we don't suggest anybody do that. But we found ourselves really, after looking back over it, like hindsight is 2020, we entered our marriage with no game plan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We were being reactive versus being proactive. That's and this right. is what we tell our professional athletes. Like, if you don't want to end in that divorce rate of 70% after retirement, you got to be proactive in your marriage. You can't be reactive. And we found ourselves behind the eight ball, yes. if you will, and not being on the same team, having no game plan, and there was a lot of frustration. You know, yes. she thought I looked like Denzel Washington, you know, so I was, for her, I was easy on the eyes, but man, I was a piece of work, you know. Mm-hmm. I was a critical, you know, I brought a hammer to kill a fly mm-hmm. in most cases, and it was a tough thing for me to let things go, and mm-hmm. so I just wasn't really ready to be married. But what we did was we rebounded from that, yeah. and we went to the same marriage conference. Yeah. For 7 years straight,
yeah.
The same content. We could read the fill in the blank before the presenters even said what the blank was, yeah. and we knew it back and forth. But the reason why we had to is because we knew that if we didn't have a plan, if we didn't do the work that we needed to do to invest in our marriage, we were not going to make it.
You know, George and Tondra as well, that's really interesting that you say that, because we've done some research that's out now, and when we look at strong marriages, particularly what I'll call convictional Christian marriage. Mm-hmm. It's us. Mm-hmm. It's people that really believe in a commitment to Christ. They read the Word regularly. Yeah. They pray together regularly. They go to church regularly. Yeah. That group has the lowest divorce rate of any group. Sure. Mm-hmm. And it should be so. Sure. That yes. shouldn't surprise us.
Exactly.
But other nominal Christian divorce rates are actually quite a bit higher, mm-hmm. and the world's higher too.
Yeah.
And that's fruit of what it means to live a convictional Christian life. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you're perfect.
Right.
Doesn't mean you won't argue from yeah. time to time. Yeah. It doesn't mean you don't have rough edges mm-hmm. that the Lord's working out.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But it does indicate that people that are putting the Word into play,
yes.
putting it into action, first with each other, then with mm-hmm. the world around them, including their kids, have far better outcomes.
Yeah.
Now, it's not the reason we're doing it,
mm-mm.
but it's the benefit
sure.
Of trusting the Lord and walking with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to go back to those moments where it was rough for you, having mm-hmm. to go, you know, a number of years in your marriage,
mm-hmm.
even though you made a commitment to Christ.
Yeah.
It was that, I would assume, that difference between really knowing the Word and applying the Word in your relationship.
Sure.
Is that accurate?
Sure, yeah. Listen, it's not easy to be a Christian, meaning that when you read the Word, then it says, do what it says,
mm-hmm.
you know? So how I love my wife mm-hmm. is really my reflection of my relationship with who God is mm-hmm. in my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we had to have these hard conversations,
yes.
right? Like, are we reflecting Christ's image in our marriage?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when we got real and we said, no, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, you know, instances of being on the same team. But the thing that I realized is that I couldn't throw in the towel, because marriage is so our marriage ministry is called Journey for Life. Mm-hmm. We believe marriage is a journey and it should be for life. And
mm-hmm.
in sports, they always talk about that the season is a long season, and you might not be winning in the first quarter or the first half, but that doesn't mean you give up.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might not be winning the first half of the season, but you keep grinding, you keep mm-hmm. doing what you can, and you keep having what we call discipline and practice.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So elite athletes know this, and that's what we had to do. We had to get into a rhythm of, really, if you want to go to scripture, we had to practice the fruit of the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
right? We love
with
joy.
Each other.
That's
mm-hmm.
right, of
yeah.
course. Gentleness, kindness, mm-hmm. two of those, it says long suffering. We like to throw those out most of the time, right? Because we don't want to suffer long. And then it talks about self-control.
Mm-hmm.
But all of those are fruits of the Spirit in which we have to practice and have discipline.
You know, one of the things I loved about the book, The Marriage Game Plan, is the highlighting of the vows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do go through that very fast. We're kind of young and mm-hmm. intoxicated with mm-hmm. love, and you're standing up there on that day saying, did I get this done? Did I get this
yeah.
done? I don't know how.
Checklist.
My brother married us, so I was actually whispering the process to him. The rings.
Get the ring. Right.
Now the candle. Do the candle. You know, he was like, just be quiet. I got it. I'm a pastor. This is Mike, my brother. But that's how, you know, that's where my mind was
yeah.
keep the thing organized. Let's go. But you really emphasize the vows and going back to the vows and remembering what it is you said. Why was that important to you?
Yes, because I feel like after the dust settles, you know, and the romantic fairy tale is over, sometimes when that happens, a lot of couples lose sight of that bigger picture, right? And so it's not just enough to say I do, but you have to say I still do. And covenant communication is one of the ways we do that, how we work on our communication that aligns with those vows and the commitment that you made. So it's that covenant communication is keeping those vows before you and reminding you and not losing sight of what you have just committed your life to. Mm-hmm.
This Focus on the Family broadcast will continue in just a moment.
Families across Canada are under pressure. Grocery bills, housing costs, and the price of daily essentials keep rising, and many people are struggling to keep up. At Focus on the Family Canada, we're hearing from more families who need help, but we're also facing increased costs. Simply put, we're doing more with less. Your gift today will bring hope and personalized support to Canadian families in crisis. Visit focusonthefamily.ca/urgentneed to donate right now.
Financial Moments with Tom Copeland.
Most children can be naturally selfish and covet what others have. It's all part of the flesh that we're born with. Selfishness is contrary to God's word. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. Each of you should look not only at your own interests, but also the interests of others." What does God say about covetousness? One of the commandments, Exodus 20 says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Clearly, God admonishes children and adults not to be selfish and not to covet what others have. Parents, teach your children to learn to be content with what God has provided. That's the solution to covetousness and selfishness. And remember 1 Timothy 6, where Paul said, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and we shall take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." To learn more, go to CopelandFinancialMinistries.org.
Well, let's crack it open. Mm-hmm. What exactly is a marriage game plan, and what does it do for our relationship? We've been hinting at it, but let's just hit it right between the eyes.
Yes. Yeah, well, we believe a game plan, like no couple signs up for marriage to lose, right? So we all want to win, right? But a game plan is a strategy where you, number one is you define the win, define how you want to win. That means when it's all said and done 50, 60 years later, what do you want your marriage to look like? And then start working back from there.
Right? Can you give me an example of that statement, what that might sound like?
So for us, we want to always honor each other. We want people to say they honored one another. We want people to say, oh, they stayed faithful to each other, right? No infidelity. We want people to say, like our kids, we want to leave a legacy, right? And so if we just go over those three things, if that's what you want, then you set goals. Number two is that you would set goals and how you're going to accomplish those things. I mean, business people, we know these things, right? You have strategies and things of that nature. You say, here's what we want to do. We set goals. And then somehow in marriage, we throw that all out the window, right? And so a part of that also is knowing your team. Right, in marriage, this is number three, is that is that we've got to know our team, you know, and we like to say that we're on the same team, because sometimes in arguments you just don't really feel like, or intense fellowship, you don't feel like you're on the same team. But to keep that before each other, that we're on the same team, we know our differences, but yet we know how we're in common, what we want to do together. And then fourth is you got to know your enemies or your opponents, right? Know what opposition could come against your marriage, whether it's health issues, whether it's, we just had to take my mother into our home a few years ago who has dementia. You never know when things that you have no control of will impact your marriage, but having a game plan, talking about those things early can help. And then lastly, we like to say the fifth one is you just devise your strategy, which our book helps couples to devise their strategy that they're working on together. And there's a lot that goes into that, but we feel like those five things will help couples win in their marriage.
Yeah, Tondra, let me ask you this as the woman.
Yes.
You're the woman at the table. You represent all wives right now.
Oh, right.
This is going to be
for all humanity.
But, you know, I'm sure some wives that are feeling like there's no hope here. My husband doesn't have the capability mm-hmm. of throwing the touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. And we all know what that means. It's whatever that wife is looking for, and he just stumbles and yeah. can't deliver. Yeah. Maybe chooses not to. Mm-hmm. It's just too much work.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I want to put the work into that. Mm-hmm. I mean, speak to that heartbroken woman, yeah. I guess, is what I'm describing, that doesn't have the hope that this can turn around. What does she do mm-hmm. to nudge, to not gripe, but to mm-hmm. pray mm-hmm. and to say, Lord, can you change our relationship?
Yeah. Yeah. What I would say is that there is hope. It doesn't matter where you're at or where you started, but you get to decide where you are going as a couple. Now, you do need a willing teammate, you know, because I'm sure there are situations out there where you don't feel like you have a winning teammate. But the more you grow, the more you pray, the more you are putting in the principles, that is a seed. We like to say we have gardens, you know, our hearts are gardens. And the more of God's seeds you put in there, it just transforms mm-hmm. your heart and it transforms your mind. And if you are focusing on growing and letting God flourish in your life, it's so powerful, the overflow that can also draw your husband in. Now, hopefully you have a husband that maybe he does want to work on this and be a teammate. He just doesn't know how.
Well, and I like the concept, and of course, we at Focus on the Family believe in counseling. We yes. have Hope Restored for couples yes. that are really in trouble. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing there is how to reconnect, mm-hmm. how to mm-hmm. commit to trusting each other, mm-hmm. loving each other, creating an environment of safety for yes. one another. Kind of basic concepts, which I think is what we all struggle with when we're struggling in our marriage. Mm-hmm. These things are kind of basic, to your mm-hmm. point.
Sure.
And this mm-hmm. is what we got to do.
Right.
And then we struggle to do them.
Yes.
And that, I think, George, to follow up on that question, that deep resentment that has festered for 5 years, 10 years, mm-hmm. whatever it might be, now on the husband's side, mm-hmm. you know, it's just not working the way I wanted mm-hmm. it to. And, you know, it's typically through the lens mm-hmm. of selfishness. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not mm-hmm. meeting some need,
mm-hmm.
or she's not filling in the gaps where Rocky Balboa, right?
Yeah.
We got gaps. She's got yeah. gaps. I got gaps. Yeah. We got gaps. And she's not meeting the needs of my gaps. Yeah. And then you start to think about, okay, maybe I missed it. I need a different reset, a different
sure.
wife.
Yeah.
How do you say, wait a minute, Lord, especially for Christians, that's not it. That's a reflection on me and my selfishness.
Sure. Sure.
So what do you do with that as the husband that doesn't feel like your needs are getting met?
Yeah, well, one is I would ask, have you clearly articulated your needs, mm-hmm. right? And have you also addressed the things that you've overlooked with her needs, right? And we call that vulnerability yes. and authenticity, mm-hmm. right? There's this thing about men sometimes, we don't wanna be vulnerable, we don't wanna say this hurts, or to go without sometimes is very hurtful, and yet, in our marriage of over 30 years, there's been some times where I've had to go to Tondra and say, hey, this season is just not fun. Mm-hmm. You know, it could have been right after a baby. It could have been, you know, when we were busy in New York planning churches. And, mm-hmm. and then even coming out here has been extremely busy. But yet, if I can find a way to articulate it, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And I learned that if I can articulate things to my wife, she has shown me, at least over the years, that she will at least go back and ponder that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, in football language, there's always teams that you're down, you start resenting. You start looking at your teammates saying, are you giving your all, or mm-hmm. are you running the plays that you're supposed to run? And it's the coach's job to get you to say, if you messed up in that past season or it hasn't been the best in that past season, you can't focus on that if you want to win. If you mess a play up, you got to say, look, let's turn the page. Mm-hmm. You turn the page.
Yeah.
You know, in sports, they watch film on Mondays mm-hmm. from the Sunday loss or the Sunday win. And once they watch the film, guess what they do? They learn the things they're supposed to learn, but then they flush it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's gone. And I think sometimes resentment, we stay stuck on the past mm-hmm. and we don't see our way forward. But I think in the Word of God, it just gives us the hope. In fact, we like to say for our marriage that we are pictures of God's grace.
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. good.
Like, in your marriage, we should see God's grace by, not because we're perfect, but because we're still in this ring together. Mm-hmm. We're still fighting. We're still not fighting each other, but we're trying to fight for our marriage. We want to fight for our love. We want to fight for our kids' legacy. Yeah. We want to fight for all those things. And
which raises, it raises that question where we tend to be more graceless for those closest to us, our family, our spouses, maybe our kids. Yeah. And then with friends, that's why people go, wow, he was so nice at church. Mm-hmm. That's crazy that they divorced. Mm-hmm. But it is like this thing where we can't extend the kindness that we would extend a friend to our own spouse.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That's backward.
That's why we talk about, you know, in the home, we call it winning the home game, right? It's not enough to win just the away game or in your career or in your hobbies or in
right, that's
the church
a good analogy.
World, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to say, I want to win in my home game. And that's one thing that we, when we're traveling, we constantly talk about how can you win your home game? And doing those things of reflecting Christ's image, even when it hurts, helps, right? Mm-hmm. And so there have been plenty of times where I've had to go back to the time. In fact, this week.
Yes.
You know, anytime we do something good for God, we already know that the enemy of our soul wants to throw a wrench in our game. Mm-hmm. So we found ourselves, you know, giving each other a little hard time. And we had to come back to each other and say, I asked her this morning, I say, do you feel like that was a true representation of our reflection of who Christ is in our marriage?
Now, was that more about you or more about her?
That was about us.
Okay. That was about both of us had to listen, that's the teammate mentality is, no, like one wins, we both win. One loses, we both lose.
Yeah, that's good.
So if there is a conflict or intense fellowship going on, each one of you have to reflect on your contribution to that, because it can't continue to go on if two people aren't helping sustain that intense fellowship. Yeah,
no, that's really good. You mentioned those core five steps: define your win, set your goals, know your team, obviously your spouse, know the opponents to your team's success, and then design your plan of action. Again, the book covers that. I'm thinking of kind of the big victories, the bolder victories that seem pretty obvious. But for Jean and I, you know, one of the things that she will say to me is, I feel like we don't talk deeply about things. And she's yearning for that. And I mean, you confess your weekly, this week's problem. So just last night, I'm thinking to myself, and this is so, I don't know why, we had a great discussion, partly about family, extended family, but pretty deep. And, you know, I was like, whew, finally scored that touchdown.
Yeah. Sure.
And she even said, this has been a great conversation. Thank you for going deep with me. I don't know why. I mean, it's just like, news, weather, and sports is fine with me, but it doesn't make it happen for her. She wants a deeper intimacy. And it's not like I'm trying to fumble the ball. But you've got to even know what those boulders are, or even those little pebbles of victory when you're looking at that game plan. What does your mate need? Not what you need. What does she need to feel close and to feel intimate? Discuss identifying that and then executing the game plan to get there. Like in this case, I feel inadequate about that. And men, when we feel inadequate, man, we run. We don't want to hang out there and learn to be adequate. Speak to that dynamic.
Well, again, sometimes we don't have a clue, right? And so I think to your example, when your wife says, hey, I like to go deep here, that's the moment for you now to sort of say, oh, I wasn't planning to go deep. But if that's what you need, dear, then I'm ready to go deep.
Or can you help me do that?
Yeah.
Because I don't really know what that means.
Yes. Exactly. Like we tell wives, well, I tell wives, I say, you think wives say, they should just get me. He should just know. And I say, wives, we don't know. We don't get you guys all the time, right? So to understand your heart in every season, right? So there's some seasons that Tondra's cool, and in another season, I might need to ask her, hey, how are you doing in this season?
Yeah.
What do we need to talk about? Where's your greatest fears at during this season? And it's really in our marriage for over 30 years, we've been creating certain zones, like work zones and free zones. So free zone is, don't ask me big questions when I'm, you know, might be watching TV or if I'm want to go cycling or something. But then there are work zones where we schedule time during the week where we know we're going to get deep. And you can't flake out on those moments mm-hmm. where it's time to go deep. And so have margin built into your week. That's what I love to tell people yes. is have margin built into your week where you're going to go deep, where you're going to ask the hard questions, mm-hmm. and you're going to set a strategy for, hey, if we need to do something as a result of this conversation, and that's what we're going to do. Yeah.
That's really good. And this has been a great discussion, and we've really just scratched the surface. But we can't cover it all. And I love the idea of the marriage game plan. Mm-hmm. It's the first time I've really thought about that. Let me turn to our listener. Focus on the Family is here for you. We understand the challenges you're facing day to day. And if you have questions, I think over 48 years now, I think we've got, if not all, most of those answers. Mm-hmm. That's why we're here.
Yeah, we have an entire library of resources designed to help you. And a good starting point is our marriage assessment. It's a quick online quiz. When you and your spouse take it, it's going to give you personalized results, highlighting your strengths, and maybe give you an area or two that you can grow in and talk about in the coming days.
We also have George and Tondra's outstanding book, The Marriage Game Plan, Developing a Winning Strategy for Marital Success. And it's full of helpful, practical information to get you and your spouse on the same page and moving forward in your marriage together. Everybody who's married needs a copy of this book. And we need your help. Your financial support allows us to provide resources to hurting families, broadcasts, podcasts, books, online articles and assessments, counseling help, and so much more. We hear from people every day who tell us the impact God has made through the ministry that we do together. In fact, here's a note from Rebecca. She writes, "My husband and I had been married for 25 years when I became very dissatisfied with our marriage. I contemplated leaving. I opened my mailbox and found the Focus on the Family magazine and read it from cover to cover. Then I spent the next 3 days listening to your podcast. God has performed a great work in my marriage, and we chose to use Focus on the Family as my main source of help. Thank you so much for the work that you do there. You have no idea the impact that you're making on the world." Wow. Don't you want to be part of that kind of ministry? I hope so. It's so easy. Donate generously and pray for Focus on the Family Canada. We're so grateful for our ministry partners. Another way you can pitch in is by ordering your resources directly from Focus Canada. In fact, you can get the book we talked about today, The Marriage Game Plan, when you get in touch with us.
Yeah, donate today and request your copy of The Marriage Game Plan. And then we can tell you more about that free marriage assessment when you call 800, the letter A, and the word family. That's 800-232-6459. Or online, stop by focusonthefamily.ca. On behalf of the entire team, thanks for listening to Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back as we once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.